All right, Betsy and Eileen, that was wonderful. We are going to start off this morning sharing from Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. Hear the word of the Lord this morning. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 men with skin disease approached him. Keeping their distance from him, they raised their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, show us mercy." When Jesus saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And as they left, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he had been healed, returned and praised God with a loud voice. He fell on his face at Jesus' feet and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. Jesus replied, "Weren't 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? No one returned to praise God except this foreigner." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up and go. Your faith has healed you." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now this morning, as we're kind of post-Thanksgiving and as we get ready for Advent coming up, I have a very important question for you, and it's, who all got all of your Christmas shopping done on Black Friday? Anybody? Oh, we got like one reluctant hand. That's impressive. Yeah. So we are getting ready for this gift-giving time of the season, and it's just wonderful that it comes right out of this time of being grateful for what we have, and we begin to get together and fellowship, and we're grateful for good food and for safe travels and for family and for friends, and when they all go back to their homes, we're grateful for all sorts of things, right? And so I have a question for you this morning again, and we're going to be a little interactive today, okay? What is gratefulness? What is thankfulness? Yeah, you can just shout it out. Appreciation, absolutely. Gratitude, absolutely. Acceptance, ooh. Huh. That's a good one. Hope. Hope.
No changes in the plan.
No changes in the plan. I love it. Sometimes it's self-restraint. Okay. All right. And if you're watching online, you're live this morning, if you want to chime in too, want to ask a few questions today, if you type them in the chat, Miss Jessica in the back will make sure that we shout those out as well. Anybody else? I don't want to leave you out if you want to share one. What is gratefulness or thankfulness? Letting others know that you appreciate them. Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm kind of curious where we would go with it this morning. And if I were going to kind of put sort of a definition on it, it's not a fancy definition. It's a very practical one. But I just think about recognition and appreciation for the good of life, or the good things that we have in life, or the goodness of life. And so I think the first step is we have to recognize it, right? You're not grateful for something that you don't recognize. Does that make sense? Yeah. I mean, you would, of course, say, "No, I'm thankful for everything." And we'd probably be liars because we're really not. We forget about all the things that we should be grateful for until they're taken away from us, right? And then we lose them. We realize how grateful we should have been for them. And then we feel guilty. And so we move from being should have been grateful to this place of feeling guilty for what we weren't grateful for sometimes. So if we're just thinking about the goodness of life, the richness of life, that doesn't mean that all of the hardships and negative stuff just goes away, or that we whitewash it and pretend like it doesn't matter. You see, that's not gratefulness. That's just simply lying to ourselves, right? And sometimes we pretend like we have to, pretend like everything is good, and we come to church and we say, "Hey, how are you doing?" And you say, "If I were any better, I'd be twins," right? When in actuality, we may not be doing well. But sometimes we have found how to be grateful in the midst of even the difficult times. And sometimes I think that may be the time where it does the most shaping of our character and who we are. So we have recognition and appreciation, all of the things that you said this morning as well. Today in this story, we have Jesus walking along the border between Galilee and Samaria. And I don't know about you. I find that imagery interesting. He's not walking in one place or the other. He's not looking for one group or the other. He's walking on the border. He's in between lands. He's in no man's land. If you know something about borders and areas that are contentious, they're not just straight lines in the sand where everybody's happy millimeters apart, right? There are places where there is a lot of hardship, and the more difficulty and conflict that's going on, the larger that space of no man's land is. And Jesus is walking on this border. It's so much so of a no man's land that the people with skin disease or leprosy, depending on your translation of the Bible, meaning the same thing here, are cast out there. It's a place where other people are not going to go. It's not that they do not go there. It's that even if they wanted to get from A to B, they would go all the way to Z just so they didn't have to walk through there. Because any type of visible sign, you see any type of visible sign on you, and you would be an outcast because they would think it could have been infectious. Birthmarks were put in that category. Some people were lepers because they didn't have an understanding of it or what it meant. And usually if we don't have an understanding of something, it can't be good, right? If we don't immediately understand it, if we don't immediately know what it is, it's suspect. And if we're in a not very advanced society, we just cast them out and pretend like they don't exist and they live on the outskirts and we don't worry about them anymore. They have their own little community and that's what they get. What we don't want is what they get. And Jesus walks there. That's where Jesus goes. That's who Jesus is. And I think if we skip over that point, we miss a little bit of the larger lesson of gratefulness, the larger lesson of what Thanksgiving is, not just the holiday, but I mean the way of life that is gratefulness, the way of faith that must include thankfulness. Jesus puts himself in a place where he comes into contact with those who are on the outside. I don't think we can overstate how debilitating and isolating these lepers or these people must have felt to be outcast. Sometimes they were individually outcast and there was no one else around and they lived by themselves and scrounged what they had. And if they had generous family members, they brought them stuff and would set it out far away from them so that they would have food or clothing or what they needed. Sometimes they were able to get together into communities where they had like-minded, like-diseased, so to speak, people, and they could live together without fear of passing it around when the rest of the community didn't want them in it. We know that they know this feeling because we're told when Jesus saw them, right? Or when it says he entered the village, 10 men with skin disease approached him and keeping their distance from them, they knew enough to keep their distance. But Jesus speaks to them anyway. You see, they have a request. Jesus, Master, show us mercy. And then we go through this story and we find that the 10 of them, or 9 of them, just kind of run off and go on their way. And if we're being honest, that's what Jesus instructed them to do. So we get a little bit of we're kind of not sure exactly what to think. When Jesus saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priests. Now, they had to show themselves to the priests because it wasn't the physicians who decided they were clean. It was the priests who decided they were clean and could re-enter society. They had to go through a ritual and they had to be marked as clean after they had been marked as dirty. That was a forever sentence until the other took place. And so he tells them to go, but one of them doesn't. A stranger, a foreigner, a Samaritan, we know the story of the Good Samaritan that's lumped in here along this line with Luke, right? He turns and he comes back. He falls on his face. He returns and prays God with a loud voice at Jesus' feet, and he thanked him. Now, when I began to think through what it looks like to be grateful, I came up with a few questions, and I wanted us to talk through those just a little bit this morning. What do you think are the benefits of being grateful? What are some of the benefits of gratitude? Peace. Nice. Why peace? I'm curious. I think it's a great answer. I'm not looking at you specifically because I don't know who specifically said it. Okay, we'll move on. What are some of the other benefits of gratitude? Joy. Resilience. Nice. Contentment. Oh, that's a good one. Being humble. Absolutely. Say that again. Positive feelings. Yeah, you probably feel, maybe we feel good when we're grateful, right? What else? Did I see somebody raise their hand? Humility. I think that's a wonderful one. Absolutely. When we're grateful, it's hard for us to put ourselves on the pedestal unless we're just feeling so good about how grateful we are. Maybe sometimes that happens. Like, look at me. I'm so grateful. This is so good. I'm the best at being grateful. We know that just through basic understandings of human nature now, through our studies, we know that gratefulness causes mental and emotional well-being. That people who exude gratefulness, people who practice gratefulness, report better mental and physical and emotional well-being in their life. We know that they statistically experience deeper connections with each other. That when people express gratitude to one another, they're less likely to end up in fights and broken relationships. Because we're no longer focused on the things that go wrong, right? We're focused on the goodness of life that we share together. Now, we probably all look back on some relationships where all we could see was what we don't like. And we forgot about the ways that we could appreciate one another. It doesn't mean we gloss over the harm or the abuse or the negative things that go on. No, there's justice for those. Please hear me say that. But when we express gratitude, we experience deeper connection. And not just with others, but also with ourselves. With the understanding of who we are, we termed it as humility just a little bit ago. But when we are grateful, we better understand our place, that we're not the center of it all, that we are not the greatest or the best, that we are not the thing that everything else revolves around. Maybe it's possible to be a narcissist. I don't even know what I'm saying. Narcissist / sociopath and be grateful. I don't know, but I doubt it. I doubt it. People who express gratitude experience better physical health and resilience in the moments of adversity. That is one of the things that helps people get through the difficult times in their life. It doesn't mean that they're grateful for that difficult time. That is not what I'm saying. But that we can find things, even in the midst of difficulties, to be grateful for. Now, if you're like me, all of this just starts to make me feel guilty for the ways that I'm not grateful. And maybe you don't have, psychological, emotional hangups like I do, but we'll keep moving anyway. So my next question that I was asking myself is, what are some of the challenges of gratitude? Why is it hard to be grateful? And before we just go, it's not hard to be grateful, right? Let's admit that sometimes it is. Sometimes it's hard to be grateful. What are some of the challenges of gratitude? Pride. Yeah. Illness. Yeah. When others aren't grateful. Yeah, if you just be grateful, I'd be grateful. It's not my fault, right? Why is it hard to be grateful? Or maybe the better question isn't why is it hard, but just why are we not grateful sometimes? It may not even be because it's hard. Our focus. Society. Selfishness, busyness, greed, we're spoiled. All right, y'all coming at me hard this morning. That's good. What'd you say? Death of a loved one. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Sometimes they're practical, like we're so busy that we forget. And that's really, it's wonderful to have things like Thanksgiving, where we come around a table And the traditions of the moment tell us we should go in a circle and all name something we're thankful for, right? We get together every Sunday and we say, what are some of the ways that we've seen God active in the world around us? What we're asking is, what are we grateful for that God is still doing in our lives, right? And sometimes we see the little things or the things that might be insignificant that we've forgotten. Sometimes, and somebody said spoiled, and that one resonates because sometimes we have so much, and this seems counterintuitive, right? But sometimes the more you have, the less grateful you are, right? Because we begin to believe that we deserved it or earned it or however you might want to term it, right? It's we deserve. It's not grateful for, it just is. I mean, I bought it. Why would I be just grateful for something that I worked and bought and provided? I mean, nobody gave it to me. I'll have to be grateful for that. Now, if I won the lottery, I'd be grateful, right? Sometimes the challenges are. Sometimes it's comparison, right? And that is hard in a world of social media. It was hard before that. We always compared. Don't hear me wrong. It's just real easy now. When we compare our everyday and especially not good days to everybody else's highlight reels that they put out there through their filters, they don't actually look like that. You know that, right? Yeah. Y'all ever seen those like makeup tutorials where they go from looking like Gollum to Princess Diana? Right? Y'all seen those? Stop comparing ourselves, right? And it's not just looks, it's what we have or whatever it is. We compare the busyness and distraction, the ingratitude of our abundance. And I think that there's one that I got tripped up on in this particular set of scriptures. I was thinking about the nine who went away and the one who came back, right? I mean, Jesus didn't tell them, you have to come back and be grateful. He told them to go to see the priest. Didn't even tell them that they would be healed, right? He says, go show yourselves to the priest. They said, Lord, Master, show us mercy. Jesus said, go show yourselves to the priests, period. End of encounter, as far as we understand. And they run off, and we're assuming the nine were going to see the priests. And I believe that is a safe assumption because they want to be reintegrated into their lives. They want to be back with their spouses, with their parents, with their siblings, with their family. They want to be back at their jobs, whatever it is. They want to be back in the temple. They want to be back with their God. They were precluded from worshiping God because they were on the outskirts of town and could not go to the temples where they were unclean and would not be allowed in. All of their life was wrapped up. I believe they sprinted as hard as they could. And when they realized as they were sprinting that they had been healed, I believe they probably felt grateful. You see, it's kind of like love, right? Like, love's a feeling. Is that true? What do you think? Want to argue about it? I mean, it's a feeling on the first few dates, if you want to call that love, right? It's a feeling when all your family's gathered around and you say these beautiful vows that if you were in your right mind, you would never agree to. Right? You listen to the vows, they're wild. It's emotional, yeah. But what we know about love is that part of it is the feeling. Yeah. But sometimes you're not really feeling it. And we find that love is an action, is a commitment, is a way of life, not an obligation. And it's not love. It's something that goes even deeper than that. We use the word covenant when we talk about it in the church. It's something broader. When we think about gratitude, I believe that they were grateful as they ran. That's a Stephen thinks, not a God says. But I imagine they were so grateful that they were not outcast anymore. They were so grateful that they were healed. But the one turned around and showed gratitude to God. There's this quote by C.S. Lewis that I found, and it's in his Reflections on the Psalms. And he said, I love it when C.S. Lewis doesn't mince words. I noticed how the humblest and at the same time most balanced minds praised the most. We'll have to forgive him for being older in English. While the cranks, the misfits, and the malcontents praised least. Praise almost seems to be inner health made audible. Praise almost seems to be, or praise or thanksgiving, right? Almost seems to be inner health made audible. You see, gratitude is also an action. What does an action of gratitude look like? And I want you to think in your life, what are the times where you truly felt like someone was grateful for you, what you did, who you are, whatever it might be? What does a meaningful act of gratitude look like to you? A hug.
Giving back.
Showing what's in your heart. Change behavior. When he gives away the present that he's been begging for? Yeah, that's fantastic. That's fantastic. Compliments. Yeah. Yeah, words of thanks. And usually kind of specific ones. I find for me, I can't put it in for you, but like specific ones. Like sometimes people say thank you, and I believe they mean thank you. But sometimes they're like, yeah, thank you for this, right? Some of you, do we have any note writers in the congregation? Are you a note writer? Oh, man. I can live all year on a note, right? I'm not asking for a note. That sounds like I was fishing. It really wasn't. I keep them. I'm not joking. I keep them. I've told you this before, but I have an entire filing cabinet drawer full, and I have a digital folder full, and I scan them in. And on the times where I need them, and great, thankful it's not often, I'll go in and pull some out. I'll even spread them out on the table when I need a visual representation. And I'll read them. And they can live on, right? You see, the Samaritan didn't just feel it, but he returned to express it. You see, it's a difficult thing to express for us as people of faith, but gratitude and faith are intertwined. We might even be able to say that it's impossible to have faith without gratitude to one another, to God, to Jesus, to the Spirit, to our ability to gather as a church, to all kinds of elements of faith and of family and of love and of care for one another. There is so much to be grateful for. And I love this season of the year when we begin to slow down and we sit around a table. And just a couple of days ago, I was so thankful for deep fried turkey, right? So good. And banana pudding. I don't know if that's a holiday tradition. It was for us this year, and it's going to be every year, right? Banana pudding. It's now a Thanksgiving staple. Sorry, baby. And my wife made this pumpkin chiffon pie that my mom would make and my grandmother would make. And I know that when she made it, she really just made it just for me, right? She did. And it was delicious. But it showed that she cared, right? That she was listening and thinking. There are so many things to be grateful for. I'm excited about this Advent season. It is such a wonderful time of gratitude. We're going to talk about peace and love and joy and expectation and all the wonderfulness of life. It is a beautiful time of year. And I love this season because the world slows down and lets us. Have you noticed that? Like, I don't care what you wanted on Thursday, it just ain't open. Right? Like you can get gas probably or something like that, but for the most part, nothing's open. Even Walmart was closed. Right? Is that right? I mean, that's an act of God when capitalism shuts down for a day. Straight up. The world slows down and we get to feel it. Ball teams don't practice. Maybe yours did. You should talk to your coach. Right? Sometimes we need a little help. We gather with family and friends and we begin to remember what's really important, what's really good. We get ready for this Christmas season, and in our minds, we know the Christmas season, and we jump to the Easter season, and we are grateful for this act of sacrificial love. Sometimes we only think about the Easter act of sacrificial love, but let's not forget the 30-something years that went before it, of what living alongside us, smelly, dirty, foul-mouthed us. We think we're better than we are. We think we got it all figured out. If we're going to be honest, we're pretty sure we're God and God's self. And God came and lived and walked and loved and didn't judge and told others to do the same and took care of and healed. We are grateful for the sacrificial love and grace. I'm going to see if y'all are Methodist or not. The Lord be with you. Let us give our thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, God Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. That's how we start communion, an act of thanks, an act of joy, an act of recognizing the goodness of God. Y'all sang along with It As Well With My Soul. We've told you before, but the gentleman who wrote that song, he wrote it after the great Chicago fire. And he wrote it after his wife and all of his children died in a boat accident, in a boat that sank. It is well with my soul. And later in life, he had another daughter who came back and wrote another one of the verses that we now have that go along with that. My friends, we are a grateful people. It's intertwined with who we are down to the core of our being. It's intertwined with our God. And so when we get together, it's because we sat down with some indigenous peoples and had some wonderful food. But honestly, it's a way of life. And it's who we are. And I am thankful for this season where we get to remind ourselves. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for life, for family and friends, for all that you have given us, for the roof over our heads, for the food that we eat, that our air is clean enough to breathe. Lord, thank you for all of it. I don't even know what else to be thankful for sometimes. Lord, there is so much. Help us to be a grateful people. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.